Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking all things edible with Emily Hanhand and upcoming food events. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we have a live call-in number. Our number is 718-497-2128. I'm always delighted to have my friends in the studio. It's almost like torture because they get nervous because they're on the radio. But then it's like, hey, yo, it's like a regular conversation. So in the studio, we have Brooklyn-based blogger and lover of all things food, Emily Hanhand. Emily, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you, Nicole.
So, Emily, we have so much to talk about. I in my mind, I called this segment... if you know Emily Hanhand, some people are listening and they may know you, and the people that don't, they're going to definitely know you. And I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Emily Hanhand, first of all, is that I know a million Emilys. And so I call you Hanhand to deviate, you know, Emily Cavalier. Shout out to Emily Cavalier, Mouth of the Border. So Hanhand.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
So first word, when someone says take down, all I can think of is Emily. Emily, tell folks what the takedown is. And Matt Timms, our very own Matt Timms.
It's a compliment to think of me first, because Matt Timms is really the creator, the brain behind these crazy events. They're basically amateur food events. We're not chefs. We're not, you know, restaurant owners. I mean, there are some chefs that compete, but... there's different themed ones. There was just a bacon one yesterday.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah, I did not do it. I had too much going on.
You did not, Emily?
But I just won the chili chocolate takedown at the Chili Fiesta.
Whoa. Hand clap. You won. Girl, how many have you done at this point?
Not more than a dozen. Probably like eight, I think.
Okay, I'm going to have to confess. Mm-hmm. I did Matt Tim. Shout out to Matt. Matt has actually a new show on Heritage Radio Network with Rachel Wharton. I forget the name of it. I think it's the Matt and Rachel show. Matt and Rachel show. Check it out. He previously had a show on, and you probably can still get the archives, Mind Kitchen. But I was on Mind Kitchen after I did the grits takedown.
Ah, yes.
Emily, girl, I was exhausted. How can you do eight takedowns?
Well, I started doing the competitions when I was unemployed. I saw one posted on Kathy Irway's site, New York. It was a soup and sandwich competition. It was to benefit Greenpoint Soup Kitchen with the Greenpoint Church. And I saw it like the week before the event was supposed to be.
Wow, 1 week before.
And it just kept, it wouldn't get out of my head. I couldn't get rid of this thought of like, why not? And so I signed up and I did it. And then Matt was at that event and he tried my food and we were talking. He's like, I have a lamb takedown coming up in like a few months. You get free lamb. You're doing this. You're going to do this. And I was just like, well, free lamb and cooking and I'm not doing anything else besides job hunting.
So that began the
exactly.
legend. And folks, you got to go check out, I think it's a takedown.com. Mm-hmm. He has this really awesome, what are we calling this, old poem, whatever, about you.
Yeah.
Is your recipe or any pictures of your, you made the chili chocolate marshmallows, right?
Yes.
Are they on the website?
Yeah, the recipe is on my site, nomnivorous.com. There's a hot pepper jelly marshmallow that I make. And then that goes into a s'more bar, which is a graham cracker crust and chocolate ganache. And then you just pour the marshmallows on top.
So marshmallows. We got to talk marshmallows. Oh, God. Yo, I am a marshmallow purist.
Mm-hmm.
I like really great marshmallows.
Yeah.
And I will say, you made some marshmallows for Nichelle Stevens' Red Velvet cake debate on Friday. And yo, those things were good. I was
Thank
shocked.
You.
They were red velvet.
Yes.
Marshmallows. Please explain. Because you know how I feel about all these. Y'all, it was really good. And I was one of the people like, oh God, red velvet, something else.
I feel the same way. Nichelle mentioned it in passing. She asked me if I wanted to be a part of the event. And I've made cake pops and I've made marshmallows and those are the two things that a lot of my friends know me for. And so she mentioned those two things. And I was like, what is a red velvet marshmallow? But why can't I make that? Like, it just, again, stuck in my head. So there was some cocoa and some vinegar. I always imagine them as a layered marshmallow. Where
yeah.
you have some, a little bit of red, and then a thin layer, like the frosting. And so there was cocoa and a little bit of red food coloring, not much, and the vinegar for the base. And then I attempted a cream cheese marshmallow, which turned out more like a frosting.
No lie, you definitely, I mean, you know me, I'm a red velvet purist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm all about good food, but I feel like a little bit of red food coloring is okay. People were really, you were there. They were emotional about the food coloring, right, Emily?
It's intense, and I get it. There's a lot of health things and a lot of everything
you cannot put beet
in
juice in red velvet
but
marshmallow.
Yeah, you especially in that situation you can't mess with the flavor too much, and so the red gel food coloring, two tiny drops was enough.
So for the record, because at some point I think for my 100th anniversary show, I'm gonna combine like everyone that comes in the studio, then the red velvet cake comes up, I have to ask them, I'm gonna combine that to mm-hmm. something to send people out. So what are your thoughts on the red velvet cake?
I
love. Are you a hater or a eater?
I'm an eater. I think I'm a straddler, which was the phrase we came up with at the event. I like a good one. It's not something I'll go towards, but that little tangy cocoa cake with, for me, I'm a cream cheese frosting fan.
Uh-huh,
and it's got
uh-huh,
and uh-huh. it also has to be tangy. I don't want anything that tastes like sugar, basically. I like some pecans on top. But, you know, I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with a mom that would make it at Christmas.
Yeah.
It was sort of a celebration thing, as that was also discussed at that event, at the red velvet cake debate. But it was a box mixed red velvet.
Wow.
So,
I've never seen a box mixed red velvet. That's deep. Okay, mama. Ooh, mama. Box mix? I hope she's not listening to this. So look, people who are listening, marshmallows, takedowns. I got to add one other thing too. What I know you for. If someone says Emily Hanhan or someone if you're listening, you probably have an Emily Hanhan in your life. You're always exploring new food projects.
Yes.
Canning, baking. How do you get inspired?
Honestly, a lot of my friends, a lot of acquaintances, things I read online. My Google Reader feed is gigantic. I have so many blogs and websites on there. So I'm constantly skimming and seeing things. But honestly, it's oftentimes meeting people I met Kate Payne, Hip Girls Homemaking, and
shout out to Kate Payne. She's been on High Grease. Yeah.
And she had a canning party and invited people to her home, and we just learned how to can, and that spurred that. And then, you know, a friend of mine actually made both marshmallows and cake pops, and I tried her versions of both and was like, whoa, what are these?
So yeah, you have a slew of other stuff that you always make though. So yeah, hand is the best, y'all.
It's just constant searching and looking and trying to get inspired by random things, books and movies. And
I'm so like jealous that you still read a Google Reader. I never have time to do that any longer.
Yeah, I go through spurts. Sometimes I'll go and read everything, and other times I just go and say, Mark, all is read. I'll get to you later.
All right, so folks, we're going to take a short break. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back with more Emily Hanhan.
Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel, they're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise of new love.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on our brand new website, HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I hope you love it.
Yeah.
We're in the studio chatting with a Brooklyn-based food blogger, Emily Hanhan. Emily, your website is and Facebook is titled Nomnivorous.
Yes.
So folks, if you're sitting at your computer now, you can go straight there on Facebook and find it, or go straight to the website. She has tons of recipes and musings around food on there. So I have to ask you, have you seen The Chew?
I have seen bits and pieces. Somebody tweeted a link to a clip, and I watched probably 6 or 7 clips and then had to turn it off.
Ooh, okay. I'm bringing them up because tell me why you had to turn it off.
It just didn't seem like it flowed together at all.
Oh, okay.
I like Clinton. I like Mario Batali. I think Carla is, you know, she seems like she's always having fun. But they just didn't work for me. The health food girl seemed
too... That's Dr. Oz's daughter.
Oh, I didn't realize that. She just seemed a little too intent. She was always in pain if somebody used butter. I get it. I get that that's your passion, but the show isn't to like demean people for, you know, wanting to use sugar, right, or butter. So
For some reason, I've been watching a lot, maybe because I work from home most of the time. So like today before I came to the show, and the reason why I brought it up, because they did an episode. Today's episode was a special one around Feeding America, which is a nonprofit that works with, you know, food banks. And I brought it up to ask you this question about the intersection of food culture and food activism, and more so bringing people together. What are your thoughts? Is it something that food bloggers or people who are into this whole food culture, is it something that they should be thinking about when they're doing their baking projects or inviting friends over for brunch? Or
for sure, I think it's really important. I'm actually really happy to hear that you did that, because that was some of the criticism people were saying. You know, you are chefs that have an outlet to America, let's bring up some important food topics.
Oh, wait, you would have liked today's episode.
So I'm happy to see that. I think that you can't do so much in food and not think about the whole country, not even the whole world, but the whole country. You know, everyone says organic is good, eating local is good. it's more affordable. But the reality is that it's not so much for everybody, you know. And if you don't talk about it, if you don't put out these issues as somebody who is privileged to be able to eat that way, then you're not really doing that much good for the world.
They're barriers. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to talk about food and food culture and do baking projects. But as they said on today's show, you know, some folks are, you know, they only have a bag of potatoes and some onions. So moving on to a lighter note. So we have to, you know, this is, I was so shocked. We've known each other for a minute. I think we first met at Kate Payne's canning party. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you were from the South.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from?
I'm from North Carolina. I grew up in Greensboro, which is just a small town that likes to think of itself as a city. I say that with a lot of love. But and then I went to school at NC State in Raleigh. And my mom is from Tennessee. We have family in Virginia. So I've been around in that sort of area, that neck of the South.
And what's very amazing about your story is your father is in food, and your brother has an amazing story. Your father owned, or does he still own, is it a gourmet?
Yes. My father is Palestinian, and he owns a gourmet market in Greensboro where he sells, you know, he makes hummus and baba ganoush and all of these handmade from scratch Arabic foods. And he also sells, you know, chocolates and nuts and olive oils and anything you could want. And then
it's the Sahadis of
yes, they're actually are a supplier to us. So that's a good reference point, is that like it's bulk, it's, you know, but it's also some of the gourmet stuff.
So if you're listening, you're not in New York City, Sahadis is a Middle Eastern, will we call it deli or gourmet food store, you think?
Yeah, deli, bulk market, you know.
It's in Brooklyn. It's been around since, I don't know, a million gazillion years.
Yeah, like 100 years or something. Yeah, crazy
something
like that.
And your brother, yo, that is deep. In a nutshell, please tell our listeners where your brother is. He's a chef, right?
Yes. So basically, he was always into food, and both of my brothers, if an older and younger brother, have worked with my dad growing up. But then he was the food one. My older brother is the business one. And when I moved to New York in February of 2009, he was like, hey, I'm going to come up and visit, and I'll bring 2 weeks worth of clothes and, you know, maybe talk to some chefs. We'll see. And he basically came up here, got a job within a week. And, you know, this is coming from North Carolina, where he had a basic community college culinary degree.
Oh, wow.
So then that job led to working at Marea for almost a year, because the chef from his first job knew the staff there and got him in the door. And that the trail, the interview led to a job. And then Michael White was opening up a Hong Kong restaurant called Al Molo in April, and he invited one of his head chefs, Jimmy, to come out and work. And then he told Jimmy, hey, you can bring one of your Marea coworkers, one of your, like, you know, one of your guys, basically. And my brother got the invite.
So we'll shout out brother. But the biggest thing to that is food is in your blood. I mean, you can't even deny it. It's when you wake up and you're like, oh, this is not my destiny, food. No, that's not true. It's your destiny. You know that, right?
Yeah, I've come to realize that. When I was growing up, I watched my family. They're all entrepreneurs. They're all, you know, crazy, all about, like, doing their own thing. And I watched that and was like, I can't do this. Like, when I went to school, I was like, this is not for me. I need a little bit more security. I wanted to, you know, or at least have more experience before I go do something crazy. And then I moved to New York, and New York just, like, brings out all of the deeper inner thinkings and workings of you. It's a city like this just changes people in ways you can never expect. So
tell me about it.
Yeah. The more I write and cook and think and talk about food, the more obvious it's become.
So we have like 1 minute to talk about your project. That you're probably doing a lot of writing and thinking about. And that's your new supper club project.
Yes.
So tell folks all about it.
My friend Catherine and I have just launched Whiskey and Salt Supper Club. We are big fans of the two title ingredients, but more than anything, we are just two friends that really like to cook and really like to feed people. And we were looking for a vehicle to be able to say, hey, we have a space and we have the food for 20 people, you know, pay and come and eat. So we really want, you know, comforting sort of foods, trying to keep the foods local, seasonal. And we're, our first dinner hopefully will be coming up December 3rd. And we're doing a whole Southern theme. Catherine is not from the South, but she has an appreciation for fried chicken and grits and all of that. So trying to bring out my Southern
and vibe. Do you have a dedicated website where folks can get updates? Yes.
We are at whiskeyandsalt.com. We're at Facebook/whiskeyandsalt. And you can email us at whiskeyandsalt@gmail.com and we'll put you into the mailing list, or basically just the email shout that'll say, hey, tickets are up, like, come sign up. So we're just starting out, but there's definitely ways to find us and get in the know.
Cool. Okay, folks. So Emily Hanhan in the studio. Emily, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. You know, we could talk for like 2 hours.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
2 hours about food galore. Stick with us. The last episode, we're going to talk about upcoming food events.
Yeah.
And we actually have a surprise. One of our foodie friends stopped by Roberta's. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Fast as I can, I got to go, I got to go. Once upon a time we fell apart. You're holding in your hands the two halves of my heart.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee.
Hey, next time you talk about red velvet cake, I want to taste some.
Oh, man, I need to bring you some. Wow, this is a fail.
I haven't had any red velvet cake.
Okay, either Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'll bring you a red velvet cake, Jack. We cool. love Jack.
Thanks.
And we also love Roberta's Restaurant, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. The address of Roberta's. Come and try the new sticky buns. Oh my gosh. They are to die for. 261 Moore Street in Bushwick, Brooklyn. So every month on Hot Grease, I try to do a few things. And one of them is give folks a roundup of food events around the country. Today I'm going to focus on New York, and these are events that I'm going to show my face at. And guess what, y'all? Surprise guest Clay Williams stopped by. Everyone is Brooklyn based food photographer. Clay, what's up?
Not a lot, just in the neighborhood. I figured I'd stop by.
Yes. So Clay, before I start talking about food events, you're on Twitter. Folks can follow you on Twitter.
Absolutely. I am Ultra Clay on Twitter.
Plenty of food photos and just photos in general. Gorgeous photos you shot for Bon Appetit.
Yeah, Bon Appetit. I've done some work for Edible, Brooklyn and Manhattan. I blog for Midtown Lunch. So you see my photos there regularly.
See, nothing but the best on Hot Grease. Clay, what events are you going to in the coming weeks that you can think of? We probably have some of the same ones on the list.
Well, talking about Edible, I'm going to be going to the Edible travel event Wednesday. It's called Edible Escapes. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know a lot of the details, but reading through the magazine, the travel issue that's out right now, there was a lot of interesting food that I think should be represented there. And I like to travel anyway, so I'm definitely looking into that. Looking forward to that.
And ironically, that was on my list.
Oh, there you go.
Edible. What is it called? I'm pulling it up now. It's actually on the 19th, right. And it's going to be in the Lower East Side. Tons of food and drinks from Madiba, which is a South African restaurant that's based in Brooklyn. From Total Town Spirits, and then the destinations they have: the Catskills, Long Island Wild Wine Country. Yeah, check it out. Tons of sponsors. Great event put on by Edible Communities. That was on my list. Another thing that's on my list, so if you're in New York, definitely check that out. I know they still have tickets available. Cider Week. Cider Week is being put on by the Glenwood organization. And it's actually the 16th through the 23rd. Is today the 16th? Today is the 17th.
Yeah,
so it started yesterday. Tomorrow they're having a meet your cider maker. And here are all the events. The website is gorgeous. I absolutely love their website. It's full of orange colors. Some of the sponsors are Jimmy 43. Shout out to Jimmy. Love Jimmy. Jimmy is a co-host, host a show, Beer Sessions, on Heritage Radio Network. And there are a lot of events happening at his restaurant. Cider Week here in NYC. Check them out. You can go to appleproject.glenwood.org/Cider Week. Probably just go to glenwood.org and check out the Cider Week events. What else is going on, Clay? Oh, got to bring up Occupy Wall Street.
Of course.
Let me ask you, have you been down there?
I haven't actually.
What? Clay, you got to go take photos.
I know I do. I've been meaning to, but it seems all a little dramatic for me. I never know when people are getting arrested or, like, you know.
Well, you know, we can't. Washed. Yeah, my husband, he's crazy. He was like, look, I'm a black man. I can't go get arrested. But yeah. I'm like, you're crazy. He went down there and he took tons of photos. I say to anyone, you should go down there and see it for yourself. But they're having a street food rally. Occupy Wall Street food rally is happening at the end of the month. There's a Facebook link to the event. You don't see a lot of buzz about it, but there are folks who are really interested in the food piece and the food justice piece. They're doing the rally. I'm going to put all of these. If you go to foodcultures.com, on the sidebar, I have all of events that I'm going to be at or that I'm, you know, supporting in some kind of way. I need to add the Occupy Wall Street food rally on there, but all the other ones that I'm mentioning today are on there. What else? I'm going to give you one more, and that is the New School is having an event this Thursday, and I realized that I'm double booked, and I won't be there. Michael Batterberry is going to be there doing a talk. They have, like, every quarter, like, I guess you want to call it a series or an event or a talk around something around food. I've been there where they talked about James Beard, and they would have four people and they're just talking about his life. So this is another one that's happening at the New School on Thursday. On my website, to the left, check it out, click on it, takes you straight to there. Any other cool things coming up, Clay, you want to share?
It's not quite coming up, but DeKalb Market just opened up a bunch of new trailers and booths there that I want to check out. They opened up on Saturday, I think, and I haven't been there yet, so.
Oh, one last event. They would totally kill me if I forgot to say this. Jeez. Weeksville Heritage Center, which is located, some people say it's Bed-Stuy. Clay is born and raised in Bed-Stuy. Some people say, well, Clay, you lived in some people say Crown Heights, some people say Bed-Stuy.
I think it's Crown Heights.
Okay. It's Weeksville.
Okay.
Which has an amazing history. If you go to Weeksville, Google Weeksville Heritage Center, but they are having a harvest festival on October 29th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. free. Children's cooking classes, canning and seed saving workshops, a youth art exhibition, tons of great stuff. It is a hidden gem in Brooklyn. Wouldn't you say so, Clay? Have you been?
I haven't been. I had a coworker tell me about it who lives in Crown Heights, and she was like, I live in Bed-Stuy, and she's like, there's no reason you not to go.
Yeah, you have to check it out. But yeah, they're doing that on the 29th. Shout out to all the folks at Weeksville Heritage Center. I will actually be out of town, but I will promote this and put it on the website. The 29th, Weeksville is located at 1698 Bergen between Buffalo and Rochester. And their website is weeksvillesociety.org. So there you go. Upcoming events in New York City. Clay Williams, thank you for dropping by High Grease. You got to come on so we can talk in depth, because you are, it's always nice to meet an alpha male guy who's into food as much as me. We can just have a conversation. It's like, wow. It's amazing. It's funny, huh, Clay?
It's true.
Emily, thank you for coming on Hot Grease. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Remember, you can join me here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern at heritageradionetwork.com. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Hey, Nicole, it's Jack. We're actually going to debut a brand new Knife Show song right now, which is fresh off the press. So we're
there. You go, Knife Chef. Okay, Knife. What days is that on, Jack?
Knife Show is a group consisting of me and Nat, the old engineer here. You can find us at knifeshowmusic.com. And this is a brand new song we have out to promote our CMJ gigs. So it's a remix of Jesse Boykins III.
Oh, love Jesse Boykins. There we go. Yeah, there you go, folks. We always bring the hot music. And Jack is the best. And shout out to Nat. I love Nat. Nat, I miss you. Peace. See you next week.